Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Well, let's welcome into the program. Man knows a little bit about contracts. He was an agent at one time. He is now the lead analyst for CBS Sports on contracts and such, and he is Joel Corey, and he returns to the show this morning. Morning to you, Joel.
Good morning.
So, Joel, I have a question. Did this Deion Jones deal help speed along Grady Jarrett's deal in some kind of way?
No, because Grady Jarrett had a natural ending date. You had to get something done by July 15th or you weren't getting a deal done.
Mm-hmm.
So that had more to do with why Grady Jarrett's deal was done. That it's either you do him now or he's got to play the whole year because of franchise tag, long-term deal deadline, and then go through this whole thing next year, or either let him hit the open market if you didn't want to put a franchise tag on him for $18.25 million.
And with that being said, how did this Deion Jones deal fly under the radar and nobody was talking about it? How they pull that off?
Well, because they were talking about a Jones deal that everyone said would get done, but hasn't gotten done yet in Julio. But from a timing standpoint, this makes more sense because there's more urgency because Deion Jones is a contract year. Julio has 2 years left. I know there's the promise that Arthur Blank made, but absent the whole promise that was made last year to get Julio into training camp, we would have been talking about this deal a lot more than Julio's.
Talking with Joel Corey, former agent. He is the contract and legal kind of sports contract legal analyst for CBS, and he has been part of the show before, and we're talking to him about some of these contracts here for the Atlanta Falcons. Both the Grady deal and the Deion Jones deal seem to be somewhat team-friendly. Am I wrong about that?
I don't know if I'd characterize it that way because I always thought Grady's deal would end up at $17 million per year. You got the highest two interior guys are Aaron Donald, and if you compare yourself to Aaron Donald as Grady Jarrett, I'm telling you that we can't have a serious discussion until you stop that. Because nobody's Aaron Donald. And then Fletcher Cox. So it comes in right behind there. And coincidentally, the guy who did Grady Jarrett's deal, Todd France, did those two deals. So I figured he was probably going to slot it somewhere around Fletcher Cox, maybe a little below, maybe a little above. So it's about where it should be. And then with Deion Jones, I look at it that C.J. Mosley deal was considered to be an outlier. And it wasn't a focal point of these discussions. And the deal that was Quan Alexander, who came in at 13.5, which was considered what people thought be a natural increase in the market until C.J. Mosley's deal just totally reset it. And the same guy who did Quan Alexander's deal, Drew Rosenhaus, did Deion Jones's deal.
Talking with Joel Corey about the deals for the Atlanta Falcons. So give me your best guess on Julio Jones and the deal. Does he become the first $20 million wide receiver? Does it get done soon? Or if you're looking at what the Falcons have done with the last couple of days, is it something that, notwithstanding the impact of the team here, is it something that will drag along?
Well, I'm going to use an analogy from last year's situation. Last year, it took forever to get Aaron Donald's deal done, and that Todd Gurley deal came in out of nowhere. So part of it, the delay there was Aaron Donald's demands. I know Julio Jones said he doesn't care about being the highest paid wide receiver, but Jimmy Sexton probably does. And from comments I read, reading between the lines, makes it seem like that Julio Jones isn't micromanaging this thing. So, I think when it does get done, he's going to be the first $20 million per year wide receiver. That is if Michael Thomas doesn't beat him to it. If Arthur Blank doesn't get a deal done with him, then you're probably going to have a major problem with Julio Jones because then he's going to be thinking, you broke my promise. You broke the promise you made to me.
With that being said, you're talking about these deals being done and Julio having 2 years left on his deal. Grady Jarrett and Deion Jones both did four-year contracts. Was there any thought process behind the four-year deals?
Yeah, they're both young guys. And considering you don't have fully guaranteed contracts, and we see in the NBA now that you can only do 4 and 5 year deals, shorter is better. So if you can continue to play well, you're going to get another bite of the apple when you still are in a position to command big money. Because if both these guys play well, then they're getting an extension coming into their contract year. So, yes, it made sense for these guys to give up no more than 4 new years.
Joe Corey joining us. Joe, I want to go back to what you just said about Julio. You know, you talk about the Julio and Arthur Blank and the promise that he made, and we know that Julio came out and had that comment, a couple of weeks ago on TMZ, where he said, you know, Arthur Blank told me Falcons for life, and his word is gold. His word is golden, I think, is the term that he used here. What would be the holdup here? I mean, if everybody thinks he's slotted at $20 million, what exactly would be the holdup? Is it the amount of the signing bonus, or what would structurally be the issue to not getting a deal done with Julio if everybody kind of knows what he's worth?
Well, there's $20 million, and then there's $20 million. So in football, everything is a guaranteed money. So I would think that the guaranteed money might be a bigger issue than what the overall dollars are going to be, because you could make him pay him like Matt Ryan. But if it's not secure and it's very team-friendly, that's meaningless. So in the NFL, since the contracts are barely worth the paper they're printed on because of the lack of full guarantees, that's everything, the guaranteed money and how front-loaded the contract is.
Joe Corey, a contract expert, former agent here. Joel, I mentioned in the tease coming into your segment, three big stars, Jadeveon Clowney, Melvin Gordon, Zeke Elliott, all not happy with their current contracts, all threatening to hold out, and in the case of Jadeveon, threatening a long-term holdout, maybe all three threatening long-term holdouts. Do you see these being long-term situations, and who do you see getting the deal done first? What do you see of Clowney, Gordon, and Elliott?
Well, Clowney can't get a deal done right now as a franchise player. He's filed a grievance to be classified franchise-wise as a defensive end as opposed to an outside linebacker because that's a higher number by about $1.2 million. It's determined by the number of the position where it took the most snaps the previous year. And NFL Management Council initially sets position. I expect him in at the beginning of the season. What Bell did last year, hadn't happened in 20 years, sitting out a whole year under a franchise tag. Now is the second one. I don't see him walking away from what could be a little under 16 or a little over $17 million, depending upon the grievance. What I would do if I'm him, it hasn't been done in about a decade, to sign the tender, which probably won't be anytime soon, I would want a clause added to it where you couldn't put a franchise or transition designation on me in 2020. Lance Briggs and Albert Haynesworth had clauses like that. When they were franchised, they had to actually earn it based on their play time. But that's something you could do, and that would ensure that that Clowney is going to be able to get his true value next year if he can get one of those.
Now, Joe, when he went to the Houston Texans, Jadeveon Clowney, that is, his designation has always been linebacker. Now, if you were his agent, wouldn't you have tried to make this argument a little bit sooner than you've made it? Because he's kind of like behind the eight ball now.
Yeah, I would have filed the grievance a lot sooner. Last year they reached an agreement where they paid him kind of in between the fifth-year option for a linebacker and a defensive end. You've only had one grievance on this particular issue once. It was, I think, in 2008, Terrell Suggs made the same argument. It never got decided because they settled without the issue being determined at a hybrid defensive end linebacker tag. So I don't know if that's the play this time around, but the fact they don't have a GM also complicates things in terms of when you could have gotten him done on a long-term deal.
Joel, I want to go back to that original question about Zeke Elliott and Melvin Gordon. Any chance either of those is a protracted issue?
Oh, funny you should mention those, because that's my article on CBS this week about those two guys. Zeke Elliott has more leverage than Melvin Gordon. Stephen Jones said he is the straw that stirs the drink. He's the focal point of the offense. They had been through this situation a generation ago when they had a running back that was a focal point of the offense. They made him hold out into the regular season as defending Super Bowl champs. They went 0-2 and found out how much they needed Emmitt Smith. If the Jones remember that, then if he does hold out, that may prompt them to do something sooner rather than later in not San Diego, L.A. You got Austin Eckler, who isn't too shabby. He's not Melvin Gordon, but he is part of what some people think is one of the better tandems in running back tandems in the NFL. So you're better able to weather the storm without Gordon as opposed to Ezekiel Elliott. Also, here's something a lot of people probably aren't thinking about. The teams hate establishing contractual precedent in any way. So caving into a holdout would be one they don't want to do. And their fear is if you do it, then other people are going to come behind and expect the same treatment. The guy I expected for the Chargers, the first-round pick, to have a holdout at some point on his veteran deal is Joey Bosa, because he had one on his rookie deal over language issues, not money. He'll be in the same position that Gordon's in right now contractually next year. So that's sure. I'm sure that is on the mind of the Chargers, that they're sending a signal. If we give in to the demands of Gordon, that if the Bosa thing is acrimonious like it was the last time, then they're going to know that if they hold their ground, they have us.
Well, that'd be really interesting to watch on both cases. I know the Cowboys fans a little bit nervous with Zeke Elliott potentially holding out, and we'll see how these play out for these three teams, the Texans, the Chargers, and the Cowboys. Joe, we really appreciate your taking a few minutes. Thanks very much for filling in some of the blanks here on these contractual issues. It's always a pleasure having you on.
Oh, thanks for having me, guys. Anytime.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.